Again, we want to thank everyone who has come out to the meeting today and pray that it may be a blessing to you. We want to look at a passage from God's Word in 2 Kings. Second Kings and verse 5. Sorry, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 5. Can't give you the verse without the chapter. This is a story of Elisha, and we'll be breaking into the middle of the story here. It's a bunch of people who were in a building project, and they were working, cutting down trees for lumber. And as they were working, something happened. Verse 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, "Take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and took it. Last little while in our Sunday school class, we've been studying the life of Elijah, and then after that, the life of Elisha, and the miracles that they did, and the lives that they lived. And there was a story here that we were looking at the last time we were together, and I wanted to use it to share the gospel message a little bit with you today. Here are some men who are out, and they're on a building project, and they're out in the forest, and they're wanting to cut down some wood so that they would have the lumber so that they would be able to complete their building project. But there's one man that as he is swinging with that axe, the axe head comes flying off of the pole of the stick that he had in his hand, and that axe head goes flying through the air, and it falls into the River Jordan, and it sinks right down to the bottom of the River Jordan. But you know, as you take a look at this story, friend, in the meeting today, I want you to first look at this river. It's called Jordan. Jordan means death. Jordan means death. And you know, when we would consider ourselves, we are a lot like that axe head. That there was a time when somebody put together that axe and made the axe. They had gotten the wood and they had gotten the iron and they had formed that axe head and they had placed it securely, what they felt was securely on the end of that handle. And they formed together that axe to be used, to have a certain purpose. But now it's fallen apart. Do you know what I think about? Is that we have been made of God. A lot like that axe. And just quite simply, God has made you with a purpose and made me with a purpose. And the thing is, if we don't find out what that purpose is, we can go through our lives feeling quite empty. Like there's nothing in this world that can actually fill the void. I wonder if I'm talking to somebody today and that's what you've experienced. As you go from one thing to another thing that this world has to offer, one little laughter here to another little joyful event there to another little something else over here, maybe from friends to friends, from situation to situation. And I wonder if there's any time in your life where perhaps in the middle of the night you stare at the ceiling and you ask yourself, why am I existing? Why am I here? What's the purpose of life? If only I could find out why. You know, God has made you for a purpose. God didn't make you to throw your life away. And they didn't make that axe for them just to put it in some sort of a suitcase or some corner for them to forget all about it. That axe had a purpose. And friend of the meeting today, if your life feels empty, I want to tell you something. Your life has a purpose because you've been put together by God. And he has a reason for you existing. He didn't just put you here for nothing. He has a reason for you existing. And your life will continue to feel empty unless you are used of God for what God made you for. You can't take that axe and go use it for something else. It's not going to work like a shovel. You can't use it to dig a hole. But that's what people do today with their lives, and they throw them into the things of this world, and they throw their lives and their bodies into things that they weren't even made for, and they wonder why it's not working. God made you with a purpose. God made you with a reason. That axe was made for a purpose. That axe was made for a reason. But when sin came into this world, it was like the iron on the end of that axe handle just flew off. It came apart. It came apart. Which then it became useless, didn't it? You could pick up the iron and try to hit the tree. It's not going to do very good, is it, all by itself? You could take the handle and try to hit the tree, and it's not going to do a whole lot by itself either. Two need to be together. They were made for each other. In order for it to work properly, it's got to be put together. Do you know, friend, in the meeting today, sin came into this world and has made a separation between you and God. Sin has come into this world and has actually, through its power, destroyed your purpose in this life. And when you think about it, it's a very powerful thing, because when sin came in, it not only dominated mankind, it took over mankind, it takes over the way we think. It takes over the way we feel. It takes over the decisions that we make. Sin is very powerful, and it's potent, because it goes from generation to generation. My children are born sinners. Why? Because I'm a sinner. It passed on from generation to generation. It's contagious. There's only one person who was ever born in this world without the effects of sin, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Do you know, sin came in, and it ruined the purpose of that axe. Totally ruined the purpose of the axe. And it fell into the River Jordan, and you look at that, we looked at Jordan as death. When God looks at you and me destroyed by the power of sin, he says, we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We're born in trespasses, we're born dead in trespasses and in sin. But you know, that axe head now is sitting at the bottom of the River Jordan. I want you to think about this for a second. Just imagine if you're the axe head. You're laying at the bottom of the River Jordan. You can try to do everything you can, but you can't do anything to help yourself. Imagine that axe head. He can strain and pull and move, and he's not going to go anywhere. He's helpless by himself. You know, in your sin, you're helpless by yourself. You can strain, you can pull. You could try to go to church. You could try to do good works. You could try to give money. You could try to get baptized. You could try to live a good life. You could do whatever you want to do. But I want to tell you, all of your straining and all of your pulling is going to keep you at the bottom of the River Jordan. You can't do it on your own. You can't. You're just like that axe head. But you know what's even worse than that? Is the axe head doesn't even know its condition. You can't go up to the axe head and say, do you know what you realize what condition you're in? You're at the bottom of the River Jordan. He doesn't even know it. You know, there's a lot of people in this world, and if it isn't for the light of the Holy Spirit of God coming into a cold, dark heart to show them their condition, they can live through life and not even know their own condition before God, which is a serious thing. People could think everything is okay and not realize that God sees them like that axe head at the bottom of the River Jordan. There's nothing that axe head could do to save itself, and friend of the meeting today, there's nothing that you can do to save yourself. You're at the bottom of the river, the bottom of the river. Can I just ask you a quick question? What is making that axe head so heavy? What is making that axe head at the bottom of the River Jordan? The fact of its very nature, it's made out of iron. Do you know your nature is one of sin? We're born in sin. And it's that sin that has dragged us down to the condition that we're in. And it's the very nature that has made you what you are before God, helpless and hopeless. Now I want to ask you, do you want to be free from your sin? Do you want to be free from your sin? That is at the heart of the gospel message, is freedom from sin. You say, I don't want to go to hell. Well, it's good you don't want to go to hell. Let me just ask you, do you want to be free from sin? You see, it's kind of like, imagine yourself if you were tied to a car with a chain, and that chain was around your ankle, and somebody just pushed that car into neutral and right off the end of the cliff, and it falls into the water, and you are falling with it, and you're going down into the bottom of the ocean. I want to tell you, would you want to be free from that car? You would be. You'd want to be free from that car, because the car is what's sinking you down. Can I tell you, friend, in the meeting today, that what sinks a person down to the place called hell and the lake of fire is they are ball and chain to a thing called sin. Let me just ask you, do you want to be free from sin? A lot of people, when they look at salvation, they might take a look at it as, well, you know, I don't want to be free from being attached to this car, but I want to be free from the water all around me. That doesn't make any sense. People want to be free from hell, but they don't want to be free from their sin. I don't want to go to hell, but I want to keep living in sin. A person gets saved when they understand that sin is a very strong thing that has captivated my soul and my mind and my emotions, and it is sin that is dragging me down to hell. Can I ask you, do you want to be free from sin? It's the very nature of that axe head is iron, and it's that nature that's making it fall to the bottom of the River Jordan. Do you want to be free from sin? She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. Salvation is not just from hell. Salvation is from sin and its power in your life. This is why when people don't experience the power of the freedom of sin in their life, they have room to question their salvation, because salvation doesn't just free you from hell, it frees you from sin. I'm not saying that we live a spotless life as Christians. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is this: sin doesn't have the same power over us as it did before. Do you want to be free from sin? Do you want to be free from sin? I want you to look at what happened is that this man who axe head, it fell apart, and the axe fell apart. He goes to the man of God. He's going to the right place. When you consider your sin and your condition before God, where do you go? You should come to the Bible. Come to the Word of God. You know, you can't trust what I say without backing it up with Scripture. You can't trust what my dad says without backing it up with Scripture. Here's what it is. If it doesn't come out of the Bible, then it's just mere philosophy or an idea. But he's got to come out of Scripture. This man's going to the right place. He's going to the man of God. And you know what's happening here is the man of God, he takes another axe and he goes and he chops down a stick. He's going to the right place. He's going to a tree, isn't he? Chopping it off the tree like a branch. He's just chopping off a branch. Where does a sinner need to go when it comes to freedom from sin and to be liberated from the Jordan River? They got to go to the tree where the Lord Jesus Christ died. There's no hope without that tree. Did you catch that? There's no hope without that tree. Without the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, there is no hope for your salvation. Christ died so that your sin could be dealt with before God. And you got to go to the tree. Which tree? Where Christ died, the cross. I'm not saying that you, in your mind, paint some gross picture of a figure on a cross. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is this: to understand that what Christ did at the cross of Calvary was on behalf of your sin to pay your debt. That's what I'm talking about. Christ died at the cross of Calvary so that all of your sin could be laid upon him so that you could be set free. God doesn't have to punish you anymore because he punished him. What an amazing thing. You have to go to the tree. That's where Elisha went. He went to the tree and he cut down the branch and he says, "Where is it? Where is it?" I want you to watch this very carefully. The tree is up here over here on dry ground. That axe head is at the bottom of the Jordan River. And I want to tell you, it's not good. What Christ did at the cross of Calvary is for your sin, but it's not going to do you any good until the branch is thrown in your direction and you make contact with it individually. That's what Elisha did. Grab a hold of that stick from the tree, and he says, "Where did it fall? Where is it?" What would it have been for you to go to the Big Bear Lake and you go out on the pier and you see the lake out there? You can't see 2 feet under the water, can you? You wouldn't be able to see an axe head at the bottom. It's the same thing going on with the River Jordan. Where did it fall? The man says, "Oh, about right there." He grabs a stick and he throws it in that direction. I want to tell you something, friend, in the meeting today. You can't be saved unless there's a contact with Christ and his work. You can't be saved without a contact with Christ and his work. Thrown in your direction is a mediator who has died on the cross for your sin. It's a beautiful thing. It causes us to, those of us who are saved, our hearts to be overwhelmed with worship. Christ died for me. Christ died for me. I want to tell you something. If there was a plane out here on this parking, well, it wouldn't be able to take off. But anyway, just imagine if it could. Helicopter. And its destination was heaven. I'd get off this podium and get in there. Because I want to go home. I want to go to heaven. I don't like this world. It's a place of sorrow. It's a place of pain. Yeah, here and there it can be a joyful thing. It can give you pleasure that is short-lived, even at its best. But heaven, heaven, if that plane's going to heaven, I'm going to be on it. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go home? You have to have contact with the Savior. And that is where that branch goes in the direction of where that dead axe head is. You know what happens with that axe head? A transformation takes place in that axe head. It does something no other axe head could ever do all by itself. Take a look at what it did here. At the end of verse 6, "And the iron did swim." Have you ever seen iron swim? Never seen iron swim. It's not part of its nature, is it? No. But when the power of the cross touches a life, it can do to that life what that life could not do by itself. It's a powerful thing. It can change the life and cause it to swim. God didn't put Christians in this world so that the Christians could all lay at the bed of the Jordan River and act just like the other ones. All the other axe heads all around it. God didn't put Christians in this world for other people to look around and go, oh, you're Christian, I couldn't tell. Because you're lying at the bottom of the Jordan River just like the rest of us. How are they going to know that we're Christians? Because we're the axe heads that are swimming. Is your life swimming? Is it a testimony to others that are around you? The power of grace of God, what he can do in your life and the way you're living? Or is it easy for those of you who profess to be saved to just mingle in with the other axe heads? They're all around you at the bottom of the Jordan River. When a person gets saved, there's a new nature that is placed inside there, and it's not a nature that comes from the iron. It's a nature that comes from the branch that was alive and made contact with the iron and causes it to swim and go right up to the top. And you know what it reminds me of? Going to heaven and going to home. And that axe head could swim, and it could be restored back to where it, what it was made for. What it was made for. You know, when we get to heaven, that's what we were made for. It's fellowship with God. We were made to enjoy fellowship with God and be with him. That was our purpose. God made us in his own image, and he wants fellowship with us. And when sin came in and broke that fellowship, God was deeply offended, but he could have at that point just turned his back and said, you know what? If you want to swim at the bottom of the Jordan River, then I'm going to leave you there. There's many other axes that I can go by. God could have very well just, as it were, taken the whole universe like a lump of clay and just destroyed it all up and said, we'll throw that batch away and make a new one. God could have done that. God's God. He spoke it all into existence. He could speak it all away. No problem. But he kept the polluted universe because it was something he wanted to show us, that even though we were wrong, dead in trespasses and in sin, his love and grace would look beyond our condition and say, you know what? I'm going to offer you a way back to what I originally made you for, a relationship with me. Friend in the meeting today, do you want to be saved from your sin? I'm going to go back to that question. Do you want to be saved from your sin? Your only way of being saved from your sin is to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for you at the cross of Calvary, and God's anger against your sin has been placed upon his Son. And his Son felt the anger of God against your sin. And you need to believe that when he died on the cross, he paid for it. He paid the bill. He paid the bill. Do you ever have a big bill? Let's say you had a bill of $10,000. I'd say I'd step in and pay for it, but I couldn't. But anyway. Say you had a bill for $10,000. And you're pacing up and down the sidewalk wondering how in the world you're going to pay that bill. But somebody comes along and says, I already paid for it. Here's the receipt. And they show you the receipt. And they give it to you in your hand. Would you believe it? You look at the receipt, would you believe it? The Lord Jesus Christ says, listen, I paid for your sin. I paid for your sin at the cross of Calvary, and here's my proof, here's my receipt right here. I'm telling you that I paid for your sin. Do you want to believe it? Are you accepted for yourself? And understanding that when you believe it and you accept it for yourself, that means I'm on my way home. I'm on my way to heaven because Christ has dealt with my sin. And if an angel stops me at the gate of heaven with his sword withdrawn and he's putting that point right in my chest and he's saying, why should you come in here? That I would be able to look beyond his shoulder and say, there's a man back there who has nail wounds in his hands and feet, and he paid my debt at the cross of Calvary. That's how I can enter in. You know what that angel would have to do? He'd have to take his sword and put it right back in his sheath. He'd have to step aside and allow you and I, the paupers, right into the majestic place of heaven, because Christ has paid our debt. Do you want to be free from your sin? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the gospel message, and we thank thee for its power. We thank thee for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he has been able to do the impossible within our lives through his work at the cross of Calvary. Truly, we are indebted to thee for all thou hast done, and yet everything we bring back to thee seems so small in comparison. But we love thee because we're not expected to pay that debt. It's already been paid for us. Christ has died for our sin. We pray, Lord, for those who are here today who may not know Christ as their personal Savior. In a special way, we would pray for the children among us today. Thou wilt speak to them tenderly, help them to see what Christ has done, and help them to understand in a very unique and personal way that it was for them and that their sin has been paid for. They just need to believe it. So, Lord, we put ourselves in thy hands today, praying for thy help too in the remainder meetings of this day, in thy son's precious name.